Welcome to From Land to Sailor Sea. While most mammals move from the sea to the land, marine mammals move from land to sea. So in this segment, we'll be exploring all there is to cetaceans. Okay, well, not all, but as much as I can cover, and mainly a little bit of the evolution, the adaptations, and in their anatomy and physiology. So marine mammals that are cetaceans are in the order Cetacea, which comes from the Greek word katos, meaning whale. And as discussed in the last episodes, cetaceans include whales, dolphins, and porpoises. Now, even though I know that cetaceans are mammals now, as a kid, I always thought that whales and dolphins were fish, just because the definition of mammals is still a little bit funky. And I'm glad I'm not alone in that, actually, because Carl Linnaeus, who is famous for his work in taxonomy, which is the science of studying and naming and classifying organisms. He did a lot of work with naming plants, animals, to bacteria and fungi. But there's probably more, but anyway, Linnaeus, in the early edition of Systema Naturae, this was in 1735, and Linnaeus included cetaceans as a fish. And however, by the 10th edition, Linnaeus, who was probably influenced a bit by the work of English naturalist John Ray who published his work around 1693, Linnaeus recognized that the whales, dolphins, and porpoises were a distinct group unrelated to fish. And it was Sir William Henry Fowler, who's a British zoologist, who was the first to propose a close relationship between cetaceans and hoofed animals. And hoofed animals are scientifically known as ungulates. So, all mammals, terrestrial and marine, have hair, warm blood, lungs, mammary glands, live birthing, and a hinged jaw. What makes marine mammals different is that they have to keep themselves warm in cold water, and they must have had to adapt to swim. So the two adaptations they needed to have in their anatomy and physiology in order to survive in the marine ecosystem is keeping warm and being able to swim. Now, all mammals are warm-blooded or endotherms, and looking at the Greek root words that make up the word endotherm, endo means within and therm means heat. So the heat or body temperature that comes from within the organism. This is different from ectotherms, which are cold-blooded animals, and the word ectotherm has ecto, which is the root word meaning outside, and therm, which also means heat again. So organisms' heat or body temperature is determined by the outside environment, and these are typically known as fish and reptiles, and among other things. And as humans, we are able to perspirate or sweat when we need to cool down, and we're able to shiver when we need to warm up. However, cetaceans don't have sweat glands, and while it is speculated that marine mammals may be able to shiver, it's uncertain when they would shiver and under what circumstances it would do that, especially since the seawater is constantly cold. So, yeah. And anyway, they would need to develop other ways to thermoregulate or regulate their own internal body temperature. And thermal regulation is especially important in marine mammals because they have to have these adaptations that allow them to live in this aquatic lifestyle, especially cetaceans, which have a fully aquatic lifestyle. So, one adaptation that cetaceans have to help with conserving heat in the cold ocean is called the concurrent heat exchange system, and that's within their circulatory system. Now, all mammals and birds have a four-chambered heart with no mixing of blood or double circulation. So, in a human four-chambered heart circulatory system, the blood flows from the body to the heart, where it directs the blood to the lungs to get rid of carbon dioxide and reoxygenate. So, once that blood travels from the lungs to the heart pumps the blood to the rest of the body so that the body cells can get enough oxygen and go through that gas exchange. When blood travels to the center of the body, the blood is heated and it warms. The heat from the body warms the blood, and blood can circulate not only the oxygen, the gases, the nutrients it needs for the body, but also the heat that the body needs. And so blood flowing from the body core to the periphery carries heat that can be lost through the skin. In a countercurrent heat exchange system, which is what most marine mammals have, the vein that is returning blood to the body core is next to the artery taking blood to the edges of the body, or also known as the periphery. Heat exchange is conducted from the warmer arterial blood to the cooler venous blood. And arterial blood is warmer since it's bringing warm blood from the body core to heat up the periphery. So things like the fins and tails. And that's really cool, it's that even though the artery blood or arterial blood cools on its way to the periphery, the arterial blood is still always warmer than the adjacent vein blood or venous blood. And so the venous blood recovers heat from the arterial blood as the arterial blood goes on its way to warm the body. And so that kind of exchange of heat, that kind of transfer of heat, allows cetaceans to maintain like a constant thermal regulation towards the outside part of its body. Because especially in humans, when we get things like hypothermia, what happens is our body immediately centralizes all the warmth to core organ systems, which are in the center of the body. And so things like hands, feet, those end up losing a lot of heat and are really susceptible to the cold and to frostbite. So having that counter-concurrent heat exchange system really helps them be able to maintain their heat inside of the cold seawater. All right, that's one adaptation for heat. We'll talk about one adaptation for swimming. And one adaptation that cetaceans have to help with swimming is blubber. And this is cool because blubber is also incredibly useful in thermal regulation. So it's like a multi-purpose spork. Blubber is really great for insulation and buoyancy. And actually, let's go back to the most recent like common ancestor cetacean, Pachycetus. The first whales that existed during the Eocene period were called Pachycetus, and some of the adaptations it had to help transition from land to sea were really cool and can be seen in whales, dolphins, and porpoises of today. The eyes on Pachycetus are positioned close together on the top of the skull so that it could see above the water when swimming and remain submerged underwater. Pachycetus also had dense limb bones, and dense limb bones are a trait that aquatic animals use to stay submerged and prevent buoyancy of floating to the surface when diving. And while this may have been the case for Pachycetus, who was a terrestrial animal transitioning to a marine mammal, some cetaceans of today require increased buoyancy of floating to the surface after diving. Since deep diving requires a lot of energy, increased buoyancy allows cetaceans to surface with less effort than diving, allowing them to go like on deeper and longer dives without needing to exert the same amount of energy when surfacing for air. And so, with that in mind, you've now learned one adaptation for cetaceans in terms of thermal regulation, and that's the countercurrent heat exchange system. And you've learned one adaptation for cetaceans to swim, which is with blubber. And I mean, I guess you got also like a bonus for adaptation for thermal regulation, because blubber is also really useful in insulation. And only cetaceans and pinnipeds really have blubber. We'll talk more about how sea otters stay warm without blubber in future episodes. So yeah, thank you for tuning in today, and I'll see you next time. This is Jonathan Kwong from Land to Sailor Sea, signing off. Thanks.